Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Mac Show. I'm Jeff Gamet. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin, and it's awesome to be here. And I know you hear me say that all the time, but I say it only because it's true. And it's because I get to hang out with wonderful friends and so many cool people. And speaking of friends, well, let's just see who's with us today. Chuck, how are you?
I'm great, Jeff. I'm great. It's always good to be here. This just starts my weekend out right.
Yep, I am totally with you. I always look forward to getting up and doing the show on Friday mornings. And that's saying a lot because I have to set an alarm to make sure that I'm actually up in time for the show. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a whole time zone thing. I don't have to set any alarms. Usually I have to set an alarm to make sure that I haven't gotten engrossed in something else and the time hasn't slipped away from me, but I'm always long awake.
Well, you are ahead of me in time zones, so that
True.
Makes sense. Yep. Also ahead of me, and also good friend, Patrice. How are you?
I'm doing well. I muted myself, so I didn't spoil the surprise who's also here.
Oh, that was so
I
smart.
Was like, so I'm not going to jump in and like spoil it. No, I'm here. I'm good. I have the same feeling. I was like, this morning, I was like, what day is today? And then I thought about it. And I'm like, you recorded the big show yesterday, so that means it should be Friday today. It didn't feel like it. I was like, it's like Tuesday, Wednesday, something like that.
Yeah, I'm all screwed up on days and times now too.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, this is the third show this week, so.
Yeah, let's see. I have to do math.
You've probably done more, right?
Yeah, it's more. I've done more.
If you have to count, then it's enough.
The lives of stars. I'm so honored to be here with you too.
Yeah, and at some point today, I'm going to have to get coordinated with Brian Chaffin because we need
you
to record
have
an
to.
Episode.
It's such a burden.
Yeah. I
It
know.
sounds so bad. You have to record it.
The cross that I bear. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
You know, it's Brian's show. So he just decides that's the time he wants it to be, and you do it. Right?
Yeah.
That's how that works.
That's how he thinks it works.
Okay.
And we're
maintain the illusion.
And we're not going to ruin that illusion for him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. So, we should
speaking of ruining things. Right?
Speaking of ruining things. Oh, what a wonderful segue! Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. Here's the obligatory story. We've had a lot of obligatory stories involving Apple recently,
especially this year.
Mm-hmm. And this is the big one that. Regardless of what else might be happening, we really have to talk about. So, the Department of Justice in the United States has filed a civil lawsuit against Apple for illegal monopoly actions in the smartphone market. And I was very, very careful with my word choice there because it actually matters. Having a monopoly in the United States is not against the law. Abusing your monopoly power in ways that are prohibited by federal and state laws, that is against the law.
Yeah.
And things
you are allowed to do when you're not a monopoly, like you can do the exact same things, but now you are a monopoly, and that changes things.
Yep. So the way it works is the Department of Justice files a lawsuit against you, but the Department of Justice isn't a criminal prosecution type organization like a police department would be. Excuse me. So they bring civil charges against a company, and then the outcome, assuming the Department of Justice wins their court fight, would be some sort of punitive action against the company, as opposed to a criminal action.
Very
So,
interesting. I didn't even know that.
oh, well, there you go. So in this case, it would be things like fines, or government imposed sanctions, like this company is not allowed to do this thing. And
Or this
or
company, like in Microsoft's case, this company has to do this thing now, like
right.
certain things.
Right. And speaking of Microsoft, when we had the big lawsuit from DOJ against Microsoft many, many years ago, one of the potential actions out of that, what that was being considered, was split the company apart. And so that could be something here. And well, the last time Apple faced a monopoly case, they ended up with I forgot the legal term, an auditor, but that's not the correct term, that was assigned by the court to sit there and monitor Apple's legal or Apple's business actions from inside the company. And it was actually an unprecedented thing, because no company had been hit with such an extreme use of that.
And for something so ridiculous, because that was the infamous iBooks case about supposed monopoly or monopolistic behavior of Apple in the books in their iBook store.
And yeah, and
Yeah,
that,
ridiculous, but okay. Well, that's the system, so.
right. Yeah. So in that case, Amazon should have sent Apple a fruit basket afterwards,
Oh, they
because
probably did.
I would hope so. Yeah,
They're
because in that
like, thank
case,
you.
the Department of Justice handed the ebook market to Amazon in the United States.
So what's going on now?
So what's going on now is that the Department of Justice and 16 state attorneys general
From
have.
and I think we should state that, because the political climate in the US, it is mostly from Democratic states currently. So it's not that you can say, oh, it's whatever, one like Republicans or any of that. Nope.
I'm so glad you
It's
brought that
Apple's
up,
own people,
Patrice.
basically.
I want to explore that just a little bit later, but
Okay.
we don't necessarily do politics here, but facts are facts, so.
Well, yeah, we don't do politics, but I do believe there's a lot of politics happening here.
Oh, tons.
So, all right, so here's what the lawsuit is claiming, and I'm sorry, I have not had time to read through the whole filing. It's like
I've
over
only
80
read the,
pages.
yeah, I've only read the summary so far, so.
So you're actually doing better than most people, Patrice. All right, so the
Okay.
short version is, Apple is being accused of artificially driving up prices for consumers, and driving up the costs for developers in the iPhone market, and that Apple is using its own rules in a way to manipulate developers. And excuse me, in the chat room, Bob Beach. Hi, Bob Beach, just saying, it seems shocked that I haven't already read all 88 pages. Bob, here's the horrible thing. At some point, I will have read all 88 pages of
Yeah,
this.
I will read that too.
Which I don't know what that says about me, but there you go. So, the lawsuit also says that Apple is restricting the way that developers can access and leverage the iPhone for their own businesses, and that because of the way they're doing the things that they're doing. They're manipulating the market in such a way that it harms consumers, developers, and competitors. So that's your, in a super small nutshell, what's happening there.
And I mean, in this type of cases, when it's about monopolies, the very first thing that they have to prove is that it is even in fact a monopoly. Which we've had a case before that was the whole Epic versus Apple case, I think, where it was only for California, but it was, as far as I remember, but the same thing, like there was, like, supposedly Apple had a monopoly in market X, and they had to prove that first. And that's the same thing here. So they're trying to argue, why is Apple a monopoly even? And that is, for me, the first interesting point and the first sticking point, because they created the DOJ, whoever filed that, they created a premium smartphone market that they define by saying it's basically Apple and Samsung combined hold about 90% of that market by revenue. So they limited the smartphone market to what suits them, and then said, well, and Apple and Samsung have 90% of that. So there's almost only two companies there.
Mm-hmm.
Which then in this segment, Apple would have 70%. Instead of the 60 that they have in the US. It's only about US, I mean, that we have to remember, right?
Right.
And then it accuses Apple even of attempting to create a monopoly through its business tactics. So even wanting a monopoly and being successful at that, it's part of their claim.
Okay, so I'm obligated to point out that mono means one.
Yes.
And by saying that this Samsung and Apple have, you know, created this, it's by definition not a monopoly.
Yep.
All right. It's 70-30. Yep. So Apple may theoretically have a dominant position in what they seem to be calling, what is it, the super premium or premium smartphone market?
I think it's a performance smartphone, they called it. Performance smartphone.
Yeah.
So
they invented a whole new market.
Yes. Nobody else has even recognized that. Premium, we would have understood. Performance is really weird.
Yeah. So the thing is, what about the overall smartphone market, as opposed to just this premium segment? You know, they conveniently don't really address that. They just prattle on about the premium smartphone market.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bob Beach in the chat is saying, and I mean, he knows that. He's an economist. He's saying a monopoly does not mean 100% market share. Yes, that is correct. It doesn't have to be 100%, but it has to be big enough that you basically own the market. The Microsoft case that the DOJ, I think, lost eventually was about 90%. Microsoft had about a 90% market share.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you get to a question of what is a dominant, I want to be careful with words here, but what's the dominant market share? Is 70% enough to be controlling the market to be considered a monopoly?
And it depends on, I mean, one, it depends on how big is the market and how big are the other players and a million other things. I mean, in the Apple Epic case, they try to define the market as the iPhone gaming market. And yes, in the iPhone gaming market, Apple has 100% market share. Didn't succeed with that, but that's what they tried.
Okay, well, so Bob Beach is saying 70% would usually be more than enough. Okay, if that's the case, if there's case law to support that, then fine.
I mean, this number that they came up with, how they defined the performance market, is not an accident. They wanted to push it beyond that 70%. So you just define the market as exactly big enough so that Apple has 70%. Right?
If I were crafting a case against a company in this way, mm-hmm. That's exactly what I would do, because you want to create your case to be as favorable to your argument as it can possibly be. So,
And they use, by the way, they use revenue instead of unit sales, which does favor Apple because Apple's smartphones are usually more expensive.
but and Bob just in the chat room said seven excuse me, you can see Apple's market power in their huge profit margins. And I question that a little bit, because if you overprice something beyond the point where people are willing to pay, guess what? They won't buy it. You know, they will go with a cheaper alternative. So if I mean, by the very nature of creating a premium smartphone, doesn't a premium price potentially go with that? I mean, I have not seen too many budget Ferraris.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. And I mean, if you look, I mean, this law is about the US only, but they only look at the US market. This is not a US thing. So the rest of the world, it kind of doesn't matter. But if you look outside of the US, markets where, I mean, Europe, where people are maybe a little bit more price conscious, Apple has a massively lower market share. Like, I think worldwide, Apple only has, what was it, 19%, 20%, something like that,
Yeah,
for
Apple's
a
largest
reason.
market is the United States for
Yeah, for
iPhone.
a reason. So it does work that way, that not just because you overprice it doesn't mean that you have control over the market. The difference is if you then increase the price and people don't have a choice anymore and they have to pay. I think that's when the monopoly, where the problem comes in, right? Once you have the monopoly, you can charge whatever you want because people can't go. Yeah, and that for sure is something that we want to be protected against.
And Patrice, I think it was you that brought up the point that there's certain things that you can do that are totally legal until you become a monopoly. And I believe that's where the argument about well, Apple charges 30% for sales on the App Store, but so does everyone else.
But that's not the DOJ's argument, actually. I mean, it is one of the problems, but it's not the primary problem. What they're saying is that Apple is doing things that reduce competition by making it harder for developers to deploy across platforms. Which, I mean, you can I can see some argument here, but then I also disagree with it.
Yeah, I'm disagreeing with it.
There is cross-platform, there's tons and tons of cross-platform apps and cross-platform development tools and whatever, and Apple is not stopping any of them.
Right.
If you want to
Look at
use
Electron.
Electron, if you want to use React Native, if you want to use, I think Xamarin was at some point from Microsoft, was a thing. There's a million of those. And a ton of companies are using them.
But is it fair to, pardon me, but is it fair to say that in the places, at least some of the places that this would appear to be the case, that there's a reason behind it, and a big percentage of that time, of the time, is privacy concerns and security concerns?
Yeah, I mean, to some extent, yes, but I think both platforms or all platforms have that to some extent. It does not stop you from developing an app cross-platform.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you're doing something really, really shady and bad, but I'm hoping nobody argues that you should be allowed to do that. So, I don't know, DOJ, you never know politics, but I
Yeah.
would assume that that's not the point, but there is, I mean, the Instagrams and Facebooks and like other companies in the world, like our company, like tons of companies, all of the airlines, everybody has cross-platform apps.
And okay, so another element of this is the DOJ saying Apple is intentionally making it more difficult for people to migrate from their hardware to other companies' hardware, And the Apple Watch is called out as an example of this.
I'm not so
So,
sure.
I mean, come on. You know, if you want to change, yes, there are issues. There's no question about it. But how can you possibly say, if we're talking about phones, that the Apple Watch is part of the phone market? I mean, the Apple, if you wanted to argue about watches, then that'd be one thing. But here we're supposed to be talking about phones. But
No,
how does the Apple Watch
it's
add to
using
value?
other watches as an accessory for your
Exactly.
iPhone,
It's
really.
about can you use a third party, or let's say, yeah, let's call it third party watch, so non-Apple smartwatch with the iPhone and have kind of the same functionality as an Apple Watch? And the answer is no. You
Okay, so
can't. And
for.
until it is a monopoly, it's not a problem. Because until, I mean, Samsung is doing the same thing, like with Samsung watches and their Samsung phones, and Google's doing the same thing with Google watches and Google phones. As long as you're not a monopoly, it's not a problem, because you could say, well, you can always buy a different phone and do it that way. But if you are a monopoly, then this is a problem. Because then you cannot use a third-party watch. Then you're locked in. You either use an Apple Watch or you don't use anything at all.
Well, but you're going to start going down the road of anything that, well, no, scratch that. Most things that Apple might develop in-house then potentially could be considered as supporting the
That's the
monopoly
problem.
argument.
That's the problem with this
And
argument.
so yeah, so
Like anything Apple does.
I'm almost intentionally going to be hobbled by the very fact that I have created an excellent product.
Yes. That's the whole problem with this whole argument. That, like, they're basically saying you shouldn't do anything because anything you do, you have to basically allow everybody else to do it. You cannot have any competitive advantages anymore because then you're abusing your monopoly.
This is probably a good point for me to offer up a little bit of law history for the United States. Because if you're outside the US, you're probably not familiar with what they're using as a basis to file this lawsuit against Apple. And it's the Sherman Antitrust Act. So this is a collection of laws that were created in the 1890s, I believe. It's before the 20th century, so it's late 19th century. And these were created specifically because we had these incredibly large, powerful companies, think railroads, that controlled markets completely. And excuse me, and when I say completely, that's not like a hyperbole. You would have a company that had a complete control over a market. And there was no way for competitors to come in. So there was no competition at all. So these laws were created, and they were necessary because otherwise we would not have had any sort of competition happening at all. And those laws have not changed. So we're using laws that were designed for a time when computers were not a thing at all. And in many cases, we were still powering the highest level technology of the time with coal.
And steam.
And steam,
Yeah.
yes.
I
And
mean, but I'm not so sure that is a big problem. I mean, there's other legislations where that is a big problem, and they're dealing with technology especially. They might be super outdated. But I think, I mean, does this law or these laws have this act have issues? Yeah, sure. Everything does. But I think in general it's not wrong. I mean,
in
you can
general, it's
argue
not
about
wrong.
the individual case and how it's applied and how it's used and all of that. And, like, I mean, this is only a lawsuit. Like, this is not a judge's decision yet. So this might be thrown out, or we know. or
They're probably
changed or
not,
whatever.
but
Yeah,
yeah.
we'll see. But this is just a lawsuit. But I think in general, I mean, I can see the argument. Like, let's say we have the monopoly on British tech shows with American people on it and some Europeans. So
that's very likely true.
That's very likely true because it's also a very narrow definition of a monopoly. So see, that's one of the problems with this. Like, how big is the market that you define? So everything we do, nobody else, I mean, in our little market segment of those podcasts, nobody can do anything without us. So anything we do influences other people, right? So I can understand that there should be like special attention should be put on anything we're doing, anything we're creating, anything we're offering. At least someone should look at it and say, is this just normal behavior, normal things that companies do or podcasts do in our case? Or is this something where we are hindering others from getting market, like getting foothold in our market? Having another podcast in British tech space with Americans,
oh,
right?
Patrice, so let's tear it down though a little bit. First of all, we don't have the ability to block someone else from starting a similar themed podcast.
Sure. But let's say we did. We have the patent in the UK that nobody else can do exactly what we're doing in our market. Let's assume that. I know it's silly. It's a silly example. Like
it's an interesting example, but
yeah.
But I'm not sure that it applies here because Apple, by the very nature of the fact that Samsung has 30% of this defined, the allegedly defined market, or the defined market that is allegedly 70%, that just says that they're not the only one that can do these things. They might.
But the question becomes, how hard is it for an individual user to switch to the other thing? How hard is it for an Apple user, whether they want to or not? Like, let's assume you, Chuck, you want to switch from an iPhone to a Samsung phone. How hard is it going to be for you to do so? What has Apple put in place to prevent you from doing it? Let's assume that's the case because they are a monopoly. They're so strong, they can do whatever they want. And they have put some stuff in place or not put in place, like some certain things that prevent you from doing so. Like, I don't know, you cannot use Apple Pay or any kind of that payment because Samsung cannot offer that, for example. Let's take that as an example.
Okay,
Th
but
that's
you,
the question here.
I can't use Apple Pay, but I can use some of the other pays that are available.
Yeah. Apple Pay is actually a bad example because it's just what is called EMV, I think, it's a standard behind it. So it's literally use Google Pay, use Samsung Pay, same thing. Like, doesn't matter.
Right, it's big deal. So I sign up, I change my credit card, I turned, I turn off Apple Pay, and I turn on what is it, Google Pay or Samsung Pay or
whatever. Like,
and so I really struggle with this as an example because it's like. It's like Visa and MasterCard. If I decide to go from, to get a Visa as and I have a MasterCard, I either A, stop using my MasterCard, or I cancel the account and turn on my Visa account and start using that.
But maybe that's also a good example. Like, what if Visa was the monopoly basically in the world and a lot of vendors only take Visa and nothing else? Then that would prevent you from switching to MasterCard because then you cannot pay in these places. And if those places are relevant for you, then you have a problem. So you see that like a behavior can be negative for you as a user. As I said, Apple Pay is a bad example, I think. I honestly have a hard time coming up with good examples because I think this is silly, but
now,
that's me. I mean, that's also maybe my European viewpoint. I don't know, like.
No, I'm with you, Patrice. And there's some irony in the credit card analogy because we have Visa, MasterCard, and which are actually part of the same company. And then we have American Express. So for many merchants, at least in the United States, American Express would be a better option for them to take. But because Visa, MasterCard has spent so much time over so many years putting out misinformation saying that, oh no, your fees are higher with Amex than they are with us. Therefore, it's cheaper to go with us. There are many merchants that simply will not take Amex. And the reality is, for most of these merchants, they're actually paying more overall when they have a Visa MasterCard transaction than if they had an American Express transaction.
See, and if I mean if Visa was now, for all intents and purposes, close to a monopoly or a monopoly in the credit card payment market, that would be anti-competitive. That behavior, that fact of sending out this misinformation and so on. If they're just another company, then doesn't matter.
Right.
Yeah,
Well, and
as I said, go
don't
for it.
forget Discover. Don't forget Discover.
Yeah.
Right. Don't
Oh,
forget.
there's a million more. Like, they're not no, not a million, but a couple more, I think.
Yeah.
But Diners Club, I think.
Diners Club is still a
Wow.
thing,
Whole thing.
not in as many, not taken in nearly as many places as it used to be, but yeah.
Yeah. Still a thing. So as I said, like that's the whole point here. Like Apple can do everything the same way, but if they reach a certain point and do certain things, that might be a problem. So I do understand the general thing of having a closer look. Apple is quite big in the US. So having a closer look, fine. I just think this lawsuit is silly.
Patrice, I guess where I'm struggling with so much of this in looking at what I've been able to read so far, and I too have, I think I read the first four pages and then wanted to burn it. But the idea is I want a phone. So I can buy a Samsung. I can buy, and there are other players out there, but let's just pretend for right now to make it easy that, it's Samsung and Apple. I have an option. I have an option for a premium phone. I have an option for a great camera phone. I have an option for the tap to pay, right? It's not the same any more than Jeff. I'll pick on yours a little bit since you mentioned that Visa and MasterCard are the same company. So I'll say, Amex. If I want to pay with a credit card, I have an option for Amex or Visa. Yeah, it might not be taken in the same places or as many, but I do have an option. There's always this funny option called cash that, seems to be forgotten. I mean, if I look at individual things, there are very few things that I can do only with an iPhone. Okay, and that's where I struggle with this. If you were preventing me from, if I had no option to text someone from one of the other phones or communicate with them through a messaging app, then okay, I would see the argument. But there are plenty of options on both sides, and we've just gone through the whole green bubble, blue bubble thing. And so now that was the EU that decided no, Apple's presence in that market didn't rise to that standard. But yeah, so there are things that Apple uses to enhance theirs, and their desirability. But does that prevent me from communicating with someone with a Samsung phone? No, it just means I may not be able to send them an emoji, but I
That,
can certainly communicate with them.
wait, and I think they realize that that is not a good argument, so they're making a related but different argument. They're basically saying because the messaging app, or sorry, because other messaging apps are not able to access the text messages that you get, that is anti-trust behavior or anti-competitive behavior because that is feeding you into Apple's chat ecosystem, so iMessage. That's their whole argument. And if you're
I'm so
listening to
glad we're
this,
getting Chuck's
Chuck is
expressions
shaking his
recorded.
head.
I mean, it just the mentality that came up with this is, I'm going to take us in a little bit different direction, and please, Jeff, drag me back real quick. But it just seems kind of coincidental that we are here in the U.S. in an election year, and that the as Patrice pointed out, this was supported primarily by the blue side. And the blue side seems to be the one that is not faring as well as they'd like to in the polls. I mean, this just seems so, and so we're going to pick on, the biggest, baddest tech company that we can. Never mind that there are plenty of other places where consumers are being taken advantage of, and we can get into that if you really want to. But we all have our favorite examples. But instead, no, we're going to concoct some things and make these, take a picture of these guys, put black hats on them, and now we're going to go after them.
Well,
Yes.
okay, so when you look at it from a political ploy position, you want to appear to be like you are strong and taking action against things that are harming your voters.
Yes.
And doing that in a way where it's safe is actually really important. Because you don't want to alienate voters when you take a strong position on whatever it is. So here's where I'm going with this. There's
You also don't want to harm the businesses, actually.
you right, you don't want to harm the businesses. And so so I think that the DOJ may be expecting that in the end, this lawsuit is not going to have an actual serious impact on Apple, and they are looking to, and this is a point that Ben brought up on In Touch with iOS last night. And since he's not here, I will just share it for him. There's a possibility that the DOJ is doing this as the setup to get Congress to take action similar to what the EU has done. And so this lays the groundwork for that, which may or may not be true. But going back to my idea that you want to appear strong, but you don't want to be controversial about it. If a political party in the United States wanted it to appear incredibly strong and do something that has value for the overall population, you would tackle gun control. But that's a really politically dangerous place to go because of the number of voters that you would alienate, regardless of what political party you're part of. So appear strong someplace where it's safe.
And I mean, that's maybe one of the few parallels to the EU. There were some people immediately saying, oh, what's happening in the EU with the Digital Markets Act and all of that. Has very little to do with each other, to be honest. Maybe except for that Apple is being kind of stupid in some cases. But this, I mean, this is an election year in the EU, in Europe, and it's also an election year in the US. So what you're saying is, yeah, that's exactly what's happening.
I think you're naive if you don't at least put that into part of your analysis. I mean, Bob Beach and all of us have been having a great conversation in the chat back and forth, but I feel like it's naive to say that there is not a political driver to this. Any more than as I recall. Was the amicus brief filed in support of this, or was that another one by Epic and all that,
I think that was a
was
different
that
case.
that was the other one? Okay, because I you start to get all the lawsuits and all the actions
Yes.
against Apple
That's
mixed
the
up.
problem. Yes.
All right.
But
So more law jargon. Chuck brought up the term amicus brief. For those of you that don't know what that means,
sorry.
it means no, that's no, don't apologize because you brought up a term that we hear all the time and will continue to hear. Amicus brief translates to friend of the court. So what that means is that you, as an interested party in the case, but you're not actually part of it, you can submit your thoughts to the court, and they can be pro, con, whatever, but you offer up your thoughts on the case. So there you go, amicus brief.
It has no direct influence on the case, but it might still influence people, like how they decide. Like, it's not something that they have to this way. They don't have to consider it, but they can.
Right.
Yeah. So, Bob Beach also brought that up in a chat again. I mean, he said, like, it's a clear case for investigation. And that's what I said. Like, yeah, I totally understand, given how big Apple is in the US, the things that have been going on recently with them, all their behavior, also over the years. I have a total understanding to investigate. No, nothing against that. Investigate away. It's your job. I think this
Investigating
goes
is an
beyond
important part
that.
of the process.
Yes, this goes beyond that. They're filing a lawsuit. They seem to have, from their perspective, enough of an argument to say this is wrong and they should be fined. Because otherwise, you don't usually. Let's take politics aside. You would not file this if you weren't sure you could win it.
I, Patrice, I'm not.
I said, let's take politics aside. From the
I'm
DOJ's
even.
perspective, right?
I'm even struggling with that because okay, so let's take politics out of it. I mean, just self-promotion, and not self-promotion of blue or red, but just self-promotion of the DOJ that they are active.
Okay.
They're an activist DOJ.
Yeah,
You know,
okay.
I mean,
But isn't that politics in some shape or form? It might not be
yeah,
blue or red politics, but it is still internal politics.
maybe so. I mean, this feels like grandstanding in a big way.
Yes.
And that's, you know, that just bothers me greatly. I mean, again, Bob and I'm going back and forth here. So I keep coming back to the fact, though, that there are options, and that the three of us, along with a whole lot of other people we know, have chosen to spend more money on the device because we feel it's a superior experience. Nobody's put a gun to our head, and nobody's said, "Oh, you're going to have to go without a phone if you don't buy an iPhone." And that's, you know, that's where Bob was saying he has more faith in some of the, I guess, the competitive markets. Yeah, okay, so Apple's beating its competition. You know, I mean, it's beating its competition with a superior product that they're able to charge more for, and that people are willing to pay.
Yeah, I think he meant he what he said is he has more faith in the Competition and Markets Authority, which I think is a kind of equivalent of the DOJ in this case.
So, Chuck, you brought up a point, grandstanding. You know, maybe the DOJ is grandstanding. I hope not. And yes, I know
It
earlier I
happens
made
all
a
the time.
comment about maybe they're doing this to push Congress into taking action. The bottom line is, if they are filing a case, then they have the obligation to file a case that they feel they can win. Otherwise, that's abuse of the court system. And there can be sanctions against the people filing the case. It could turn very ugly. So they have to go into this feeling they have a solid case that they can win. And if they don't, okay, that's fine. But going in with a weak case that they're certain they're going to lose anyhow, that is an abuse of the court system, and it is prohibited. Like, they cannot do that.
Doesn't mean that it doesn't happen.
Amen, Patrice. I was just going to say, let's skip tech altogether and just talk about some other things of lawsuits that are filed. You know, are they abuse of the court? Absolutely. Yeah,
But
that's
if you
true.
get away with it.
Could I please cross over to class action suits? But no, we won't go there.
No, we won't go there, but we will go all the way to TSO hosts. And the reason we'll do that is because we don't have to argue. We all know that they're the best. And what makes them the best? They offer rock solid web hosting. They have solid bandwidth. They have great customer support. They make it easy for you to buy domain names. And they're just all around great people. And why do I bring this up? Not just to get us off the topic of the DOJ and antitrust lawsuits, but because TSO Hosts is being super awesome and supporting us, the British Tech Network. And they're supporting us by giving us bandwidth so that we can live stream shows to you every single week, giving us hosting so there's a place for the website to live so you can go and find all the episodes you want to watch or listen to. Once you've found those episodes, well, you need to be able to download them. And so they're giving us the server space for all those files. The resources it takes to do all of this is beyond what we're capable of managing on our own. So they've stepped in and said, hey, we want to give back to the community, and we're going to do that by supporting our friends at the British Tech Network. So yes, they're giving us all of those things, and that's why we can be here every single week and have what's turned into a single topic in-depth discussion on politics and law and monopolies. And it just so happens Apple fits into it too, which is lucky since it's the Mac show. And they're doing all of that for us. So we really appreciate what TSO Host is doing. Thank you, TSO Host, for being here and supporting us. Now, I've said thank you. I would love for all of you to say thank you too. So please just hop out on social media. Hop out on social media. Really? Hop out on to social media and thank TSO Host for being here, despite the fact that I apparently have bad diction today. Wow. Okay. So yeah, just give them some online love. That's all they're asking for. I'll suggest though that if you're in the market to buy new domain names, why not use TSO Hosts? Because they're going to give you a good price. They're going to make it easy to do. And if you need any help along the way, they're there to help you. So just find those domain names, like haponout and .com, and then throw those domain names in your cart. You're going to get a great price. But be sure and add the discount code BTN20. So you get 20% off your order. If you need web hosting, throw that in there too. Get your discount. And I think it's awesome that not only are they supporting the network, but they're doing something special for all of you just because you're part of the BTN family. So thank you again, TSO Hosts, for being here and supporting us. And Patrice, I'm so glad you're here on many levels. One of those levels is that I know that I can rely on you to be intelligent and coherent when you talk about the live chat, unlike when I do it. Do you mind doing that, please?
Oh, I absolutely do not mind doing that. It's, we have a really cool live chat today. Bob Beach is in there, which is awesome because we're talking about economy-related topic, at least, economics-related. And economy as well, probably, but different story. He knows his stuff, so it's always mm-hmm. good to have him, and he can tell us what's really happening. So I'm always very appreciative when he does that, and he does that in our live chat. So we have this chat. If you head over to chat.britishtechnetwork.com, whenever we are recording, we are in there. The chatbot sometimes is in there also 24/7, but that's a different story. It doesn't always respond as we discussed in the pre-show. We can ping him, but he doesn't always respond. I guess the bot was sleeping. Fridays recharging. Yeah, that's the right thing. Fridays 4 p.m. UK time for the Mac show, so this very show, and also Thursdays, by the way, 7 p.m. UK time for the big show. If you want to talk about the non-Apple side of things, what did we discuss yesterday? I even forgot already. Like it's been 24 hours almost. I think we talked about, what did we talk about? Not Mr. Beasts and their game show. I think we talked about Doctor Who, for example. And
we did. We talked about the new season of Doctor Who.
Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. other tech and tech-related stuff that's not Apple. If you're into that, then the big show is a good thing. And as I said, just head over to chat.britishtechnetwork.com, and you can talk to us live. That's how easy that is. But let's say you are listening to this in your favorite podcast player of choice. See, there's no monopolies here. You can use whatever you want. You can go to our website. You can use YouTube Music, I think, nowadays. You can use Spotify, you can use Apple Podcasts, you can use, I don't know, Castro, Overcast, one of the millions and billions of podcast players out there. And you want to like see what we talked about. You want to see the links that we posted also for the cool things, for example, that are coming up now. You can still get to that. So not the live chat, that's done, but you can get to the transcript. So we have our BTN bot in the chat, and it records everything and puts it up on the website. So all you have to do for this is you head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat, and then there's a very friendly, very approachable calendar that very nicely asks you for a date. And if you put in any date between June 2nd, 2015 and today, for example, and today would be March 22nd, 2024, then it will tell you very nicely, the website will tell you what we talked about on that selected day. So if you put in today, you will see what we talked about today.
Awesome. Thank you for doing that. You rock.
You're welcome.
All right. So now it's time for some cool things. And who has the first cool thing?
That's annoying.
And that would be Chuck.
That would be Chuck.
Okay. I think I beat Patrice in.
Yes, you did.
So one of the, this is sort of a tech thing, sort of not. But I have some recessed can lights in my home. And I find it really annoying when one burns out and then I go to one of the big box stores and find out that they no longer handle that brand. And so I figure out, you know, which do I want, soft white? Do I want daylight? You know, which, and even across brands, the temperatures differ. And so then I have these weird spots of light in the room that, you know, I've replaced a bulb with. So I found these. This is a Sunco. It's a 12-pack, but it is a selectable between three different shades of white. Now, this is not a smart bulb. It is a physical switch on the bulb that you flip. And, you know, so you can select, you know, maybe for your bedroom, you want warm white. Maybe for the kitchen, you want, you know, bright white. But they work. You know, they work really, really well. The fact that, frankly, the fact that they sold it in a 12-pack is great because now I don't have to worry about trying to figure out what manufacturer that I can or can't get or what they've changed. These floods, I mean, these are floods and they really flood. I mean, I replaced all the bulbs in one particular room and all of a sudden I can see every single corner because they really disperse the light well, but I can select what color.
Vacuum.
I wasn't going to bring that up, but you are absolutely right. Yes, there are dust balls in corners that I didn't know existed. But the idea is that this is a really great value. And if you have that, you know, if it doesn't matter to you what color your lights are, that's fine. But this gives me the option that, okay, if I've purchased these bulbs and I don't think it's quite right, I can play around with them and see what color I really want. So I feel like it's a really good value. They function as advertised, because that's what I'm using now. And so go check it out if you think that's something that's important to you.
Very cool. Awesome. All right. Well, I don't need any bulbs today, but but
today.
Now I know. And you did probably cost me money, just not today.
And I should point out, Jeff, too, these are not smart bulbs, you know, because you can get smart bulbs for your can lights, but they're just so much more expensive. And whether it's just shades of white, which are, you know, adjustable in between, or if you want to even spend more money and get colors, I just don't find that's necessarily necessary for the can lights.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, to spend either the money on the smart ones or on the colored smart ones. So that's, I just want to be real clear that these are not smart bulbs. This is an analog switch on the device.
But simple, easy, and very cool. Awesome. All right, Patrice, what's your cool thing? Oh, I just brought it up. What's your warm thing?
What's my warm thing? No, it's actually a cool thing because it is actually, I use it in cool mode.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know. It's neither Apple related nor, I mean, I would say tech is even pushing it. It's this little thing here I just bought. So this is a hairdryer. It's actually a very professional one. You will find that in like in hair studios. You know, like the Dysons are very popular with a lot of people. But they have one, they're very, very expensive, even more expensive than something professional like this. And the two, they're also like they have some downsides and are for very specific use cases for certain people. If you have straight hair or want straight hair, that's for you. But like I have my curls and I don't want to destroy that. So
Sure.
I bought this the other way. I had this forever in my Amazon. So this is the company is Perlux. This is the Alien, I think. That's what it's called. The line, they have tons of lines. This is an Italian, like a small, what I liked about this is a small Italian company. So it's not one of the big electronics companies that you will find, or like whatever appliance companies you will find. This is a small Italian company. It's really good. They have like it's for me the important thing is with curls, like you don't want any heat because that's gonna destroy your hair. So in general, not a good thing to have heat, but so this stays cool. And I have this diffuser thing. So this is the second part. All right, let's see, I can take off. It's like 30 bucks, I
Okay.
think. They're not exactly cheap, so they're not the $30 that you can buy at Best Buy or something. There's like 100, and I think I paid about 100 bucks for it on sale.
Right now it's showing 138 pounds.
Yeah, so sounds about right. It's as I said, there's sometime on sale. They say if they have basically two switches here, so that's what the professional things make a difference. So one is just the speed, and one is the temperature. So you can just turn it on and then it's cool. And if you want some temperature, you add that extra, but you don't have to. And as I said, with the diffuser, that's for curly hair, quite good because you can get some volume into them, which is sometimes a problem. You see, for me, I have to wash my hair again today. Yeah, so that's my cool thing. I really love this thing, and they have like tons of colors. If you want gold, if you want black, if you want blue, yellow, pink, like me, like they have, I mean, it's plastic, so they can have it in fun colors and make it work that way. So maybe a gift
Awesome.
for yourself, maybe a gift for your partner. Like if you're
Chuck,
looking
you've
for
already
something.
ordered yours.
Yeah, for sure.
Well,
For his hair that
before I
Chuck.
do, I wonder, does the diffuser come with it, Patrice, or is that a separate?
No, it's an extra, it's like $30, so
Okay,
27, I think.
I wasn't
It's not
clear
that
on.
much. No, they have it does come with some like some attachments. So if you like, you know, the I don't have them in the other room, but like to make the stream smaller, if you need that, so that it comes with that. But the diffuser for curly hair is extra, but it's like $27. And I this was a recommendation from my hair salon, so they told me to get this, and I did a ton of research to see like what's out there and what's the reviews and whatever, and they're like consistently people are saying get this. Yeah,
And
there's
it's
the
the
fans
last
of the
hair dryer
Dysons,
you'll ever have to buy.
probably. Yes, see, I mean, this is for professional use, so probably gonna last quite a long time.
Awesome.
Yeah,
I
that's
feel
it.
like
And you
my
don't have to spend $500 for Dyson. So
I feel like my locks need the diffuser.
yeah, I think so.
I'm with you. All
Definitely.
right. So, my cool thing is not going to cost you money, but it will cost you time, unless you want
Nice.
to make donations and it'll cost you money. There's a guy, I believe in the UK, that has started a project where he's going to build a quarter scale model of the Starship Enterprise from the classic TV series. And he's been documenting the whole process. Because he has to do like test build stuff, and he's gotten everything figured out. But before he gets to the quarter sales scale size, he needs to do a prototype build so that he can make sure that everything's actually working correctly. So he's in the process of doing a 1/100 scale model. And so it's totally scratch built, the whole thing, totally scratch built. And when When the 1/100 scale model is finished, that will be able to be like taken around and displayed at different events. The quarter scale model, however, which is going to be over 40 feet long, that's going to be a permanent display, and so you'll be able to go and go to wherever it's going to be on display, and there'll be like platforms you can walk up and look in the windows and see inside, and the whole process is just absolutely fascinating. And for people that do donate, they can have their own crew quarters in the full scale model. And just watching what he's doing, it's just really cool. And right now, I think he just finished making the 1/100 scale dorsal, which is, it's the neck that connects the saucer to the engineering hull, secondary hull. And so he has the whole interior for that built, and has done a test fit of the skin on the outside of that. And you can look right in the windows and you can see everything. And he's trying to make it as accurate as possible. He's occasionally taking a liberty with small elements where it makes more sense to do it a certain way. But he's trying to stick as close to the actual designs as possible.
Yeah, I mean quarter size, that's pretty big still.
He has in some of the videos you can see a template for the dorsal that's 1/4 scale, and it's like floor to ceiling in his space, and he has high ceilings.
Yeah, I was just thinking about it, like an average room and like whatever, like the engineering section on like the Enterprise. I mean, that's probably a little bit taller than an average room. So even a quarter of that is still pretty tall, like pretty high.
Yeah, well,
Like, I mean,
yes.
it'll
And
fit in your room, but still, like, it's pretty big.
the dorsal is 7 decks.
Yeah, so it
So,
makes sense.
yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So that's
That, I
it.
mean, really impressive, like the amount of work and like the detail work and all of that goes into that.
It's pretty impressive what he's doing. And I love that he's documenting the whole process.
I mean, that's what you have to do. If you do something like this, this is what you do.
Yes, and he's caught the interest of a lot of people that are directly involved in the Star Trek franchise, like actors and other people that have been part of production, and they're all just absolutely loving what he's doing.
I did not know about this, Jeff. Yes, you did cost me time because I'm gonna want to go through this. This is really interesting.
You're welcome.
Looks like he even built like shuttle crafts and whatever.
Yeah, he's worked on a lot of stuff with this too. And yes, so like shuttlecrafts, and then there's like test builds where he works on part of the superstructure, like for the saucer at 1/4 scale, and it's like it goes from one end of his apartment to the other, and it's just the
Wow.
from the edge to the center of the saucer. And yeah,
Wow.
I'm just scrolling through one of the videos, the Ultimate Scratch Build model. I mean, he even does the little communication panels in the conference room
Yes.
in that one. I mean, it's just he's real. Yeah, this is impressive work.
Yeah, it's really cool what he's doing. So there are lots of videos that you can check out. He has a whole community where he's talking with people. I discovered the guy in one of the model builder forums that I follow on Facebook, and I've just been hooked on what he's doing ever since.
Yeah, I mean, there is a section of YouTube that is literally stuff like this, like engineering things, whatever it is. I mean, there's the guy who built the marble machine, the music instrument.
Oh,
I
yeah.
think building a third one now. So that's, I mean, that's all engineering. So there's definitely a community for that.
And it's very cool. All right. So we need to wrap up so Chuck can get back to watching Mr. Trek's videos.
Yes.
So Chuck, where can we find you?
MacVoices.com is where you'll find everything that I'm doing. We've wrapped up CES 2024 and are now forging ahead. We will undoubtedly be talking about some of the things that we've talked about here today on Mac Voices Live on Tuesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, whatever time that is, wherever you are, at youtube.com/MacVoices TV. And if you want to agree or disagree with me, feel free on any of the socials at Chuck Joyner. Thank you, Jeff.
Awesome. Thank you, Chuck. All right. And Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, you can find me every week here on the Mac Show and also on the Big Show, so Fridays and Thursdays. Well, I should have done that the other way around, but okay. I want to mention that I put a bonus cool thing into the chat. If you want to see what that is, you have to go to BritishTechNetwork.com/chat now because that's gone. You can find out everything about me, all the cool things that I'm doing, all the projects, podcasts, social media links, literally everything on my website, thepatrice.com. And I have a Mastodon instance that I host, for example, where the British Tech Network is at britishtech@techhangout.social. So techhangout.social is my Mastodon instance. I should have said that before. But yeah, there's other cool shows like In Touch with iOS and so on. So good instance.
Awesome. And thank you. Actually, thank you to both of you for being here and just making me smile. And it's just been a fun, awesome day. So thank you. And everyone that's watching, listening live, participating in the live chat like Bob Beach is doing, thank you for being here as well. All of you are awesome. Everyone that watches, listens to the shows later, thank you for being part of the BTN family as well. And Ewan, thank you for being you. And Muller, thank you for making sure we have people for shows. And TSO host, thank you for being here and supporting us. Speaking of support, check out the Daily News Show if you're not doing that already. 5 minutes of your time, and you get the tech news that you need. It's waiting for you every morning when you get up. That one takes a little bit more to make happen, so we need more money to come in just for that show. So go to the BTN website, click on the button to send money to keep the Daily News Show going because Kyle is awesome and it's a great resource. So please go do that, and then. Be sure to join us next week for the big show. And then that will be on Thursday, then on Friday for the Mac show. And everyone, have an awesome weekend.